Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, and we have got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. What a show we are set to have. Not only are we going to be talking about the Borough game on Monday night, 2-2, what a goal by Yates. We're going to be looking at the game with Millwall, which is tomorrow night, and so many issues around the club. But as always, this is your Forest show. This is your takeover. So why not get involved tonight? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, I am delighted to say it is normally we hear the dulcet tones of Chris Burton, but tonight kicking us off, it is Lee Clark. Lee, always good to get you on. He's normally busy with the darts, but he's giving us his time tonight. Lee, really good to speak to you. What did you make of the 2-2 with Borough? Because obviously taking the lead, snatching it with Grabban at the end. But we have to talk about the Yates wonder strike, because he's come in for a little bit of criticism with his previous performances, but he kind of put them to bed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, to be honest. I think it was a strange old performance. I think some people were saying it was really, really poor. I don't necessarily think it was that poor. I think it was more we just struggled to get going. And then we got the goal and we kind of thought the job was done. And for some reason we kind of abandoned what we'd been good at for the first 20 minutes and we started booting it long for some reason, which we've not really done all season, and it just played into Middlesbrough's hands. They were comfortable with us doing that, and it wasn't until later on when we threw Carvalho and Bostock on that we actually settled it down a little bit. But yeah, Yates did have one of his better games certainly recently, so yeah, that was pleasing.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mad game, really. Not a performance we were expecting from your opponents in Middlesbrough. You took the lead and then, you know, did we do all that thing? Did the Forest fans think, we're 1-0, we don't concede many, you know, this is it now, we're going to sort of batten down the hatches. And then on come this flurry by Middlesbrough and all of a sudden, 2-1 down at half-time.
Yeah, I genuinely think that was the case, actually. I think it was a case of, I think the firm message was get the first goal. And we got the first goal, but then it was almost like everything that we thought would happen if we scored the first goal didn't. So, I personally thought if we got the first goal, Middlesbrough would, the fans would get on their back, they'd get on the manager's back.
Just capitulate.
It was just completely different. I just thought that's what would happen, but it didn't. It was everything opposite. The fans rallied and the team knuckled down. They started playing and it was almost like Forest didn't know what to do with it. So they'd probably not do that again all season. It wouldn't surprise me if two or three games time they've perhaps still not won a game. It was just one of those situations where the fans have rallied and they've scored two goals. I thought that the first one was perhaps a little bit lucky for him to edit back across goal and happen to edit to the biggest player on the pitch who was standing on the line was perhaps a little bit lucky, but that's football and they did deserve to go in front at half time, to be fair.
Yeah, honest assessment from you there, Lee. But obviously, you did get back into the game with that Grabban equaliser. Just quickly on the equaliser, what did you make? Because I know some fans are split on social media, talking to Borough fans, talking to yourself, you know, backing in into pairs and obviously got to protect the goalkeeper. But Keith Andrews on the night saying, no way, that's a foul. It would have been very harsh, you know. The keeper's got to do more then, and it was a deserved goal.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it was a foul. I think if Lewis Grabban does that to a centre half, there's not even a discussion to be had. It's literally just because goalkeepers are. It tends to be that if a goalkeeper comes to try and get a ball and he doesn't, the referees typically give fouls. That doesn't necessarily mean that they always are fouls, and that was a prime example of that. One of the replays does show Grabban has like a little look. And I sometimes think if you're going to look at the player and take your eye off the ball, the referee can justify that you're not really looking at the ball. But to be fair to him, the ref was pretty good all night, and he didn't give any of those in the middle of the pitch. So the thing I thought was really interesting was that the keeper, I always think as a keeper you take the ball at its highest point, and he went and stood right behind the striker. So it just made it really, really easy for Lewis Grabban, to be honest. And if you look at the experienced players, Johnny Howson and Gusted, they weren't even appealing. So they knew it wasn't a foul, and I think that said it all.
Yeah, I think you're completely right on that. And do you know what? We actually spoke to one Borough fan and said, nah, it wasn't a foul. But, and that was from the Borough perspective. And I think that is the way. Just maybe it was just so frustrating for them to lose because points are at a premium for Borough at the minute. But keeping it on Forest, I read a really interesting article that you done, Lee, because it was on Grabban, just saying, speaking to you at Nottingham Forest News, saying that it doesn't play on his mind when he goes on a run of games where he doesn't find a net. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I just thought it was a really interesting chat because he's very, it's something he's had a criticism before in the past, that he's very laid back. And I think it's quite refreshing how laid back he is. You'd be forgiven for, I mean, even though he scored an important goal on Monday, it's still one goal in six for him. But he's really not fazed by it. And I think at this stage of the season, that's key. He basically said that if he starts getting caught up about not finding the net, then he's going to forget to do the other jobs that Sabri Lamouche has tasked him with doing. And if he starts getting downbeat and going into his shell, then he's quite simply going to be letting the team down. And he made a really interesting point about the Cardiff game where he didn't get a goal, but he did set up Thiago Silva for the winner. And he said if it was playing on his mind that he's not scoring goals, then he probably doesn't get himself on the ball in that position and set up a crucial winner for a vital 3 points.
Yeah, and he's such a vital key piece for the Forest side. I know everything goes through him, but even when he does go on a run where he's not scoring, he's still the movement and just getting everyone else. You can tell that it still all goes through Lewis Grabban, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. He's really good at that. And that is something that he's improved on since he's come to Forest, to be fair. I mean, when he first signed, he was very much a striker that came alive in the box. But yeah, he's clearly worked on it. He's clearly bought into what Lamouche wants him to do. And he's one of them strikers that I never worry too much if he doesn't score, because sometimes it's just a case that he's not getting chances. He's feeding off scraps and he's not getting the chances. I mean, I thought it was really interesting on Monday where he kind of missed the really good chance where you think, oh, that's your chance to get a goal. And then he went and scored one like he did that justified the law of physics. And that's what he is. He's capable of the sublime when he needs to be.
Yeah, and I want to speak a little bit about someone you've already mentioned tonight. You kind of alluded to how good that performance was, Carvalho. You know, only it was a cameo appearance, but he kind of showed more in that brief time than others did in the 90 minutes. And it's weird that from off the bench, and what was it, 20 minutes, Lee, we're talking about it and talking about it, the impact it made.
Yeah, it was. That's what he's capable of. I mean, I've never been one of these that kind of uses his valuation as a stick to beat him with, which it does seem to be a lot of the older supporters, to be fair. They think because he's signed for 13 million that he's got to be, some people think he's got to be almost chipping in with goals and assists in the 5 minutes he's on the pitch, which at the end of the day, people need to realise that nobody asked Carvalho what he was worth. He didn't choose the 13 million price tag, and he showed last season. I mean, he scored 6 goals and got 8 assists in his first season in English football, which for a 21-year-old, which he was last season, that's not a bad return. But people see the 13 million and think, oh, well, he should be double figures in both. And as we know, it doesn't always work like that. But on Monday, I thought he was actually really good. He went back to basics. When he was taking the corners, he made sure he beat the first man, which is always a good start, and he did put the really good ball in that led to the second goal. And at the end of the day, that's what I want to see him doing. He needs to be coming on and contributing and setting us on, you know, in the right direction going forward, and that's what he did on Monday.
Yeah, and changing the pace a little bit, Lee, I wanted to know if you had any insight at the minute, because the club have obviously posted their losses, quite substantial losses, and their chief financial officer has actually left, you know, around the time that these have all come out. Can we read anything into that, and what have you made of it all?
I mean, to be honest with you, I think that particular piece was a little bit naughty for the simple reason the chief financial officer actually left a month or two ago. One of the well-known journalists who writes for The Athletic, he basically posted that she'd left some while ago. So, yeah, she was still in place to sign off the accounts, but it's almost like the two things weren't linked, if that makes sense. So, I mean, the losses that we've posted, they still keep us well within financial fair play. And if I'm being totally honest, it's not completely untoward in the modern day era, particularly in the Championship, for a team to be posting losses.
Yeah, I know it's always a nice big headline that draws everyone in the media and everyone wants to take it. But that's why I always want to ask, because there's normally something more that goes on. Like you said, well in touch with Financial Fair Play and someone that actually left months ago. You never know. There's so much smoke nowadays. People read the headlines and it's not actually quite the truth. It's why on the Fan Show we get to dig and find out the truth of it and get to the bottom of it. On the game, just with Middlesbrough then, putting that one to bed, Lamucci said, "I don't know what went wrong, but if the fans are happy with a point, I'm happy with a point, but I'm not happy with the way we played." So, Lee, were the fans happy with a point?
Yeah, I think I'm a bit old-fashioned. I always think any point away is a good point. If you, throughout the course of the season, if you win the majority of your home games and pick up a point as a minimum away, you're going to be in the playoffs at least. I think if you'd have said to me before the Cardiff game, you're going to get 4 points from Cardiff and Middlesbrough, I wouldn't have had it in the I'd have probably said 3 at Middlesbrough and 1 at Cardiff, but 4 points is still a good return, I think, and we've got to be happy with that at this stage of the season.
Yeah, got to be happy with that at this stage of the season. And we're talking about staging the season when it's 1 win in 5. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's a weird one, Lee. I mean, this is the same form as Brentford, Brentford actually have 0 wins in 5. Bristol City have 1 win in 5. And yet we're talking about Forest team who have really cemented their playoff places. They're 6 points to that team in 7th. So they're quite comfortable. But it's weird that this form comes on the back of that fantastic Leeds win and it's not really been replicated since.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to be totally honest, I think what I'm going to put it down to is that there's still so many teams that have got something to play for. I think usually with 10 games to go, you start seeing a clutch of maybe 8 or 9 teams where you're playing them and they're almost playing in flip-flops because we can't wait to get on holiday. Whereas this season, there's nobody really that can afford to do that, because the ones that are sort of all the way down to QPR, if they put 3 wins together, they're going to be in the playoffs. 3 wins at this stage of the season is going to be massive. And then you look a bit further down than them, and everyone's looking over the shoulder. 3 defeats could put them right in trouble with the relegation zone. So I think that's what I'm putting down. Look at Middlesbrough the other night. They were in the bottom three and they played like a team that, well, if you'd not seen the league table, you'd think they were mid-table. They played brilliant in the first half. So I think that's not helping. But it's just about digging deep and hopefully we can turn the home form around a little bit with 6 games still to play at home.
Yeah, 6 games to play at home. And we've always said how important that home form is. Lee, really good to get you on. Lee Clark there from Nottingham Forest News. Always good. Lee's a big part of this show, but it's because he knows so much with his articles and just being in and around the team. And you know so much as well. So tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But it's a first on the show because I'm delighted to say in the second half we are joined by a brand new voice and a brand new fan.
Love Sport.
Well, there is still time on what is your Forest takeover to get in touch this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And I'm delighted to say we welcome someone new onto the show. Always a pleasure to hear from a different fan, a different perspective, and get their take on their team and the season so far. Well, joining us is Tom Head from the South African and Nottingham Sport. Tom, really good to invite you on tonight. We really appreciate you joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. But for you, we can take a broader look at things, a wider perspective. What are you making of Forest this season?
Oh man, I'm loving it. It's like a fantasy. It's a bit, do you know what I mean? Our fantasy, our wildest fantasies are still fourth in the league. Like we can't dream of automatics, but hey, just being in the playoffs, we're happy. It's the best season for a decade. And it's just one thing, Charlie, that's really, really impressed me this year is I've watched so many Forest teams wilt, crumble under pressure, not be able to clear the lines and you know, deal with the opposition. But we've got a backbone this year. We actually defend well, like Bryce Samba's in line for the Golden Glove, that type of thing. And it's just nice to have a football team that can defend. We've let a couple of late goals in. You know, it happens. It is the Championship. welcome to the jungle. But it's it's just been fantastic, and I don't know how I'm going to get through these next ten games without having a heart attack. So good job we're near Queen's Medical Centre. That's all I can say.
Tom, so much passion. What an answer that was. Good job you're near the medical centre, because that's exactly it, isn't it? Because now when we do come to the business end of the season, the home straight in what is really that playoff final dash, 10 games to go, it is a little bit squeaky bum time, but this has kind of maybe come higher than expectations this season, because let's not forget, it's still Lamucci's first full year in charge and what is, first management in English football. And no one was really expecting this wonderful ride of this season, were they?
No, not at all. I think we were, with all due respect, I think we were all very happy to see the back of O'Neill. Well, probably a majority of us anyway. It just wasn't working out with him. It was causing a lot of fights between fans. And when the announcement was made, he was sacked. Like, it took 18 minutes before they, said that Lamucci was in charge. And I feel so bad, because at the start of the season, I was saying that I don't know who this guy is. He's probably just like a bathroom appliance salesman who turned up to the City Ground to fit some new taps. And I have been eating my words ever since that day, Charlie.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one, Tom, so don't stress too much. But what have you made of Lamucci then? Because let's face it, he's hit the ground running and he's made a real big impact, not only on the side, but how much the fans have been drawn to him. And Tom, off the top of my head, I can't remember the last time a Forest manager, finished the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go back to 2010, 2011 for Billy Davis. So that's 9 years, 10 seasons ago. It's absolutely insane. And I think what he did, as I was saying, is there was, when Martin O'Neill left, there was, a big argument about whether he was the right man or not. And the fan base was very divided. I mean, really, like, logging onto Twitter was I felt like how Piers Morgan feels every day, just pure hatred floating around in the mentions. But what he's done, the way he's united this club, because he's just got that team spirit, is now coursing through the players. I mean, I've never seen them with such smiles at full time, and like, they're fighting for each other. And what Lamucci's done, what I really like about him, is he's made better players out of the players we've got. So Joe Worrell's a better player than he was 12 months ago. The same for Figueiredo, the same for Lewis Graben, the same for Matty Cash at right back. And it comes down, for me, that comes down to man management. And I think Lamucci is an absolute king at it. I mean, it's still early days in his management, This is going to be his first full season. It'll be interesting to see where he is probably another year down the line. But hey, if we keep a manager for that long, it's got to be some sort of bloody record.
Yeah, and interesting to see where Forest are a year down the line, because who knows what division they will be playing in. And really on that, Tom, it is so interesting, because we said the expectations, the standards maybe weren't there. It was just a period of adaptation with Lamucci in charge, get his feet under the table. Obviously, as fans, and we all do it, the expectations and the goalposts move. If Forest were to somehow, touch wood, it doesn't, but fall out of the playoffs maybe this year, and then it sort of unravels, and then what will happen? Because we can see it and we can hear it in your voice, such a high, and sometimes when you don't then meet that required standard, things can turn very quickly.
It's going to be hard to get my crystal ball out on this one, but he's got a one-year contract, so that's up in the summer. And if we were to fall out of the playoffs, for me, there's no question he stays. There's no question he takes us into next year. Because I think he's overachieving. I think we are overachieving this year, in the sense that we didn't really have a wild summer. I mean, there was obviously a squad balloon to the size of 35 or 40. But, the signings we made, I think there were a few people who were quite dismissive of them. But he's managed to rebuild the team, and he's managed to get them going in the right direction. And I've been saying earlier this year, I fancy us to be probably a bit more like Sheffield United in that year, where they were top six and they fell out and they went strong at it in the second season. I can see us following that path, but do you know what? I'm more confident that we will stay in that top six. Like, I just look at the competition around us and how we play against the bigger teams and the better teams. The teams in the top eight, I think we've got 5 of them to come in the next 10 games, and I'd back us in every one. I really would.
Yeah, but I would. You know, you have to, and we're talking about a period in the Championship. It may be 1 in 5 wins, but they're still there looking strong and solid, and soon that form will turn. It just shows you the great start that they did have at that start of the season. But for you, because this was a sort of, you know, a brand new dawn, a new chapter this year for Forest, what's pleased you from the team, and what have you seen from the players on the pitch, you know, that go, I didn't realise we had this in our locker, you know, it's been great to see how we've done that this year, or something maybe on the flip side as well that goes, we still need to do a little bit more of this, this still needs work?
Well, Forest is still, even at this moment, we're still a fantastic paradox. So my answer to your question was going to be, well, we've got better at game management, we're better at seeing games out and defending one goal leads, but at the same time, we've also let late goals in against Middlesbrough, two against Reading. We've had them all, you know, piling up here and there. There's still, I don't know how to say, because our defence is much better, and the way we defend is much more better, much more organised. But there's still bits and bobs that need working on. Maybe, you know, them last 15 minutes, 9 times out of 10 are backers. But there's not been one game, Charlie, this year that I've actually enjoyed. Maybe the Birmingham game where we won by 3. But every bloody game we play, it's winning by one goal. I mean, I'm not going to be able to make it. If we win, you know what I mean? If we're in the playoffs and we're defending a one-goal lead, I'm not going to make it. I'm 16 stone, Charlie. I'm an heart attack waiting to happen. I don't need it, in all honesty.
Don't say that, Tom. We've only just made friends. It's the first time on the show. Now you're telling me about the medical centre around the corner and saying, you know, you're one game away from a heart attack. Please don't do this.
This is twice I've bought it up. You can tell I'm really concerned about it.
We are. We're quite worried here at Love Sport Radio. I'll be honest, I don't really need it on air. I mean, this could be my the end of my broadcasting career and what's only just begun, Tom.
It'd be weird, wouldn't it? If they put this clip on the news, that'd be it.
Safe to say, I think we both go viral.
Yeah, well, it's all right for you. I wouldn't be around to enjoy it.
No.
So.
Oh, well, this conversation's really taken a turn. Let's quickly keep it on the positive. It is Millwall tomorrow night, actually. Friday night game, kicking off the weekend of the Championship fixtures. What are you making of this one? Never an easy place to go, Millwall. What do you make of it?
They're coming to us tomorrow. So, I think we've only won one of our last 9 games against Millwall, and they're a very tough team to play. I think the one game we won in that run was when we won 1-0 and Steve Morrison had one chalked off and they completely dominated us. Like, we do struggle against Millwall. So I'm always wary going into that. I'm always quite cautious, but I've seen on Monday night, the way we played weren't great. We still got stuck in and got a point. Like, we pick points up and we pick wins up these days. Like, when we're not playing so well, we still get stuck in and we're still mucking, and it's great to see. But I think Millwall will be a big test. What we need to do, we need Carvalho on from the start. I think Lee was talking him up about his cameo the other night. And that's going to be the difference to me. If we've got Carvalho for the next 10 games, if he can have the sort of impact he had in the middle of last season, I think it's just going to be like, it's going to be like having another weapon in the armoury, and one that's probably not been used to its full extent this year. So I look at tomorrow's game, and I think we can probably win it by 1 as per usual, but Millwall ain't going to make it easy. And I won't be surprised if they did get something, but that's the pessimist in me. It never really leaves you, Charlie.
Yeah, I think I'm quite similar as a football fan. We always worry. But Tom, just lastly for you then, are you doing that thing that all fans do? Because it is 10 games to go and we're sort of looking at it and go, right, we'll pick up points here, we'll win that one. That may be tricky, but, you know, our rivals are playing there, and you're trying to sort of guess and predict those final standings.
In a way, yeah, I guess I am. Because the thing about Forest is we drop points at strange times and we win games that no one expects us to win. So I've kind of got used to looking at us in bulks of 2 and 3 games. So we got 4 points from Cardiff and Middlesbrough. We'd have took that all, you know, every day of the week. But the way the Middlesbrough game happened, I think a lot of fans are a bit disappointed. Whereas for me, it's a positive. It's a great thing. We beat Leeds the other week, 2-0, fantastic result. Lost to Charlton and then beat West Brom, but from those three, then got a draw at West Brom. So from those 3 games, you'd say, yeah, 4 points is fair. So I've got into this habit of always taking it two or three games at a time. I didn't look as far along as the end of the season. I didn't try and do them predictor tables where you find out where you are and what it's going to be like after 10 games. I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can whilst being in a state of absolute stress every game I go to. I mean, it's just, this is the thing, Charlie. It's because it's been such a long wait and this is the closest we've got to it. And my wife's not into football. I try and tell her, like, every day of my life that, look, this is different. This is not me going to the game.
This is religion.
This is religion, man. This is, well, I'll tell you something. You're going to need divine intervention to get me home from Wembley if we go up through the playoffs. Put it that way.
Tom, I'll tell you what, I've absolutely loved our chat tonight. Honestly, you've made my night. Really good to chat to you. I really want you to come on soon. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Tom Head there from the South African and Nottingham Post. Just what a guy and what so much just passion about his team. That is what we want on these shows. You, the fans, having your say. Divine intervention. It is squeaky bum time in those 10 games. But don't you worry, because right here on the Nottingham Fan Show and Love Sport Radio, we're going to be across it all.
For downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.